chapter 7, starting in verse 18, we read, "Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? When the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Father, we do again thank you for this time together. Thank you for your love and mercy to us, Lord. Thank you for our salvation. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy to us. Lord, I just pray for this section of your word, that you would give us wisdom and guidance concerning it, that you would give us the nuggets of your truth. You would help us to understand it, know it, live by it, Lord. So I just say thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This week, we are going to read about John. And he asked Jesus the question, are you the coming one? That this is the question that he asked. And it's a really good question because, of course, there are people today, they're still looking for someone to be their Savior. They think it's the government. They think it's the president. They put their eyes on so many things, they just can't see Jesus as the answer and hope for mankind. And so as we get into this study, it's not a long study, but it's one that I definitely think is important because it reminds us of who Jesus is. So here in verse 18, we see when the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. Well, one thing, we got to go back to what we previously read. Remember, he healed the servant of the centurion. He brought back to life the widow's son that we read last week. And he had healed many people. And so we know that Jesus had done many things. And we see here, John's disciples were there and they had witnessed what Jesus had done. And so they go back and they reported to John concerning these things. And when they come to John, John says, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus saying, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? Well, where is John that they had to go report to? He's in prison at this time. He's in prison because of Herod Antipas not liking him, calling him out for having sexual relationship with his brother's wife. And so John is in prison. You know, he's probably in there somewhere between, I don't know, 9 months to 1 year. He's just waiting. And eventually, as you guys know, is he will have his head beheaded because of the dance that had taken place through, I can't think of the wife's name, but the Philip's wife's daughter. And the wife wants the head of John. And so John's in this prison. It's called, and I'm not going to pronounce it right, but I think it's Macarius prison, which I read this article. It said that this prison is a fortified hilltop palace located in Jordan, southwest of the mount of the Jordan River, on the eastern side of the Dead Sea. And according to Flavius Josephus, it is the location of the imprisonment and excavation of John the Baptist. I was hoping we had a picture. But there is a picture of the ruins of this prison, and you can see the steps that go down to the dungeon where it is believed John was held captive there until his head was beheaded. And so he's in prison and he's waiting and he's hearing about Jesus, and it's interesting because I think he asked a really good question. Are you the coming, or are we looking for another one? Now, did John not know who Jesus was? No, we know he did. How do we know that? Because in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says to us, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When John saw Jesus coming, he knew who he was. Remember, he is a cousin to Jesus also. And so here John, he understands who he is, but he's wondering what's going on. Why? Because things aren't happening according to maybe his plan. Remember, John and the rest of people were looking for this Savior to come who would rule. Jesus didn't come to rule the way that man thought that he would rule. And so John looks and he sees what's going on, and he understands that the people are expecting their Messiah to come, and so they're looking for him to come, and Jesus is doing things. Psalms, we read these few verses concerning Jesus coming. Psalms 118, verse 26 says to us, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." Notice the word "comes" in this verse. In the Hebrew, this word means haba, and it means to come. Someone that will be showing up, arriving at some point. And so when it says "blessed is he who comes," it's he who is coming, who is about to come or will come. In Psalms 40, we read this, "Sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God." Psalmist writes about the Messiah. He is going to come. He says, "Behold, I come." Then he says, "In the scroll of the book it is written of me." Of course, the whole Bible points to Jesus Christ. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, it always points back to the center, who is Christ. The Old Testament to the future, the New Testament back to what has already taken place and what is about to take place as we are waiting for the 70th year of Daniel to start. We know that the prophecies have pointed to Jesus. The prophecy we're waiting for now is the judgment of God to come upon the earth for man's rebelliousness and sinfulness, and God will deal with sin once again as men reject Christ the Savior. And so the psalmist says, in the book written of me. The best way to know Jesus is how? Read the book. Right? Best way to know about Jesus? Read the book. I'm glad you're here to hear me speak. I hope God blesses you and ministers to your heart and minds. But you want to know Jesus, you need to get into the book. The book is where you'll find him. The book points to him, reveals him to us. And the more we read it, the more we understand it, the more we will know him. And that's what we're supposed to do. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, we read this. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." He is going to show up. This is a reference to him coming the first time in the flesh. Remember John 1:1 said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So we know Jesus was going to come. He is God Almighty. He is the Word of God. And then it said that Word would become flesh. And it did. Jesus came to birth through Mary, the Virgin. He was brought to life. The Word of God was made flesh. He says, "And he is coming," says the Lord of hosts. There is the promise of the haba. Come. An important word, because it's a prediction of a future event that was to take place. And of course, we're looking back into history now, and Malachi says he's coming. The psalmist said he's in the book. We just have to look. We know the prophecies that speak to us concerning his coming, that it would be a virgin birth, that he would forgive sins, bring salvation. Well, then in verse 20 we read, "And when the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" They asked Jesus if it was he they were. He's been in prison for a little while. Maybe some doubt slipped in. I don't know what's going on. What I do know is he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one we're waiting?" Why this question? Maybe because John knew Jesus was wondering if this they ever waited for. Remember, they're waiting for a ruler just about to die for sin. He wouldn't rule in the way that society thought he would. He wouldn't come with a sword on a white horse and start, you know, kicking out the Romans from their land. He wasn't going to rule that way. He was going to rule a different way. And so John wants to know what's going on. Is he the one? Is he the one that's going to come and take over and reign? Good question. The question is yes. He came his first time and he dealt with sin. He's coming a second time, going to deal with the world. He's going to rule this world, the Bible tells us, with a strong arm and a mighty fist. And so yes, the answer is yes. He is the one to come. He is the one that will rule one day. It just wasn't going to be during the time of John's time. It would come later. But he did come and deal with sin. He did come and bring healing to people. And deliverance. And we'll read this. Verse 21 says, "And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits." Evil spirits could also be being possessed by demons. "And to many blind he gave sight." Notice the things Jesus did. He helped people in their sicknesses, infirmities. And most of the time, sicknesses means stuff that, you know, can't really be cured. I'm not talking about the common cold. I pray for colds, but I know, realistically, I don't think Jesus is going to heal somebody of a cold. You only have to wait 2 weeks and it's going to be gone anyways, right? And so it's really tough to pray. You know, people say, "Can you pray for me? I got a cold, I got a flu." And, okay. But I'm already doubting my prayer before I even pray, because I already know. I mean, they tell you 2 weeks, it's going to go by. It's going to last between 2 and 8, cough and everything else. But the main part's going to last about 2. It's going to go. So even I, "Oh Lord, I don't need to pray for this. I know it's going to." You know what? There's some serious stuff that people. And I heard someone say one time, "If you can explain it, it's not a miracle." You can explain it, it's not a miracle. And often I think we Christians, we lower the bar to what a miracle is, and we claim. And when God does a miracle, let me tell you, you're not going to be able to. You just don't know why. All you can do is say, "It happened. And I was amazed by it. It blew me away." And so he says here, he will come and he will cure many of infirmities. Affliction. Cure many with evil spirits, demon possession, we've read before. And many of the blind he will give sight, or gave sight. And I like that Jesus comes to help. He didn't just come to say, "I'm your new king, I'm next in office." No, he came to make a complete difference in the lives of people. You and I know the difference in our lives. We know where we've been. We know where we are now. We know where we're going. And we know that Jesus is truly someone who should be admired, appreciated, and thanked. For all that he has done, he did on our behalf through the will of the Father. Jesus answers John in verse 22, and he says to him, Jesus answered and said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. What did you guys see? What have you heard? Seeing part, he says here, that the blind see. Those who could not see before can now physically see. The lame walk. Those who could not walk, now they can walk. They're raised to walk. The lepers are clean. Lepers couldn't even be around people. They were cast off into their own location where they would die. And here he says, you've seen the lepers that have been cleansed. And the deaf hear, those who could not hear or, you know, listen, are now able to hear. The dead are raised. Of course, the widow's son, with young woman, was raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. I think this is the most important part of it. More than the gospel is the most important. I truly do. I think the gospel and knowing who Christ is and eternal salvation found in him is more important than any healing anyone could ever get. I truly do. I have come to understand the gospel is for eternity. Everything else is really temporary on this earth, except for the gospel. The gospel offers an eternal decision that once accepted and believed in Jesus Christ, my life will truly be seen. Let me say this about all this that I've just read. I believe physically all of this happened. Every bit of it. I believe that the blind came to be able to see again. I believe the lame got up and walked. I believe lepers were cleansed. I believe deaf began to hear. I believe dead people were raised. I definitely believe the gospel has or. But I also believe this. I believe there's a physical part that Jesus does and he touches people's lives physically. And the healing of a physical element or whatever it is not salvation. It's just something physical that's taking place. The gospel brings in the salvation. The gospel would bring in eternity. But I've also learned that what has been done in the physical must also be done spiritually. There are people walking around who cannot see that. They don't see the spiritualness of who Jesus is. They have ears, but they do not hear. They don't understand the words of the Scripture. They're lost to the truth of what the Bible is trying to teach. They can't even get up to go to church somewhere. They're lame. Just sit around and do what the world does, and they're not really going anywhere in a specific direction. They too need to be raised from the dead. How do I know all this? Because that was me. It was probably you. There was a time in our lives when we couldn't hear. We didn't walk to church. We didn't even pick up a Bible to read it. We couldn't see the truth of God's Word. Why? Because you weren't born again. And until you're born again, you can never see the truth of God's Word. 2 Corinthians, I think, maybe 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They're spiritually buying the truth of God's Word until He opens them. And every man, every woman needs to be healed spiritually. Things of God. And when that gospel is preached, like it says here, the poor have the gospel preached to them. When the gospel is preached and the heart receives it, and there's an acknowledgement of who God is in Jesus, and we receive that forgiveness of sin, we understand that we are sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when I can understand that I am a sinner, I have fallen short of the glory of God. And I can do what Romans chapter 10 tells me to do, that I must confess my sin. I must believe in my heart that He died and rose again. When I can do that, then I become what John chapter 3 verse 3 says and verse 5 says, I am now born again. I've acknowledged who I am as a sinner. I've confessed that sin. I believe Jesus came, He died, was buried, and rose again. I believe that, so I confess that. Then John 3:3 says, I will become born again. And what does born again mean? I'm made anew. I'm no longer the old man. He says, for the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Guess what? I get to see again. This time I can see what's going on in the world. That's why I know the world is fallen. That's why I know drugs are bad and alcohol is bad. Watching X-rated TV shows is bad. Lying is bad. I mean, my eyes are open to see what is out there. And I can honestly, really, really see the darkness for what it really is. Not the way I saw when I was in darkness. I knew what darkness was. But when you're born again and you see through the lens of Jesus, it is a whole different darkness. A lot of deception going on. A lot of lies being spread about. So we get to see, get to walk again. I get to be cleansed again for all my past. I'm washed through the blood of Jesus Christ. For the first time, I can hear the voice of Christ in my heart, in my mind. His word is alive in me, in you, and it speaks to us powerfully. It gives us direction and guidance. Guides us to the things He wants us to be a part of, and it guides us away from things we have no business to. He tells us, do not be unequally yoked with a non-believer. He tells us what to stay away from. He tells us the dangers of this world in friendships, in society. The Lord warns us of these things. Why? Because He's opened our eyes. And so, just like these people physically were able to get up and walk, so are we. We make choices every day in that. One of my favorite verses of all times is Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. It's one of my first verses the Lord used to minister to me after I became born again. It explained so much to me when I read it. Didn't know anything about Bible. But I read this and I knew this was me taking place. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Never forget the first time I read this. First time I read it, I realized, you know what? The Lord has come to me, given me good tidings, the prayer of people in my life that I didn't even know were so many. So many came up to me after I got saved and I went to Calvary Chapel in South Bay and all these people. Oh, you're Augie. We've been praying for you. South Bay Christian Center, the same thing. Oh, you're Augie. We've been praying for you. And as God began to reveal to me, as He put into people's heart a desire to pray for me, I realized all these people that I didn't know were praying for me. At first I thought Diane was just gossiping about me. My buddy Nick was just telling the church about me. But no, they were both honestly asking, pray for this guy. Pray for this guy who's lost, who's on drugs, he doesn't know where he's going. I've learned because of that, that's my responsibility now for people I come in contact. people I see today and realize, you know what, I wonder if someone's praying for them. If you weren't here Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, I usually get an email from Amir Safadi, and I listened to his broadcasts and learned about, you know, end time and what's going on in Israel and all this stuff. And then, you know, they always have all these other little things down there. And one had a thing about President Trump, and it was George Lopez. Now, back when I was younger, I liked George Lopez. Funny. And said, George Lopez on Trump. Huh. So I clicked it to listen to it. I'm trying to make it fast. It's not really about him. He's talking. He's very polite. He's, you know, all this stuff. And they got to a question of, you know, why did he vote for Hillary? And he said, well, because like many people, I didn't want to vote. So I voted. And this is true the other way. A lot of people voted for Trump because they didn't like Hillary. He didn't like Trump, so he voted for Hillary. And there's just this conversation between him and this narrator that's interviewing him, and they're talking. And all of a sudden, I felt the Lord saying, you need to pray for Trump. I had prayed for other movie stars. Beyonce is one of them. I've been criticized. Can't pray for Beyonce. She's law. What do you mean she's law? No different than me. She needs to be prayed for. And I've been criticized for that. But anyways, the Lord was saying, I want you to... He can't hear. Caught up in his life and his routines and the things that he's going through. So he's voting for who he thought was the best. But he just don't know. And it reminded me of me. And when I couldn't see and when I couldn't hear. Okay, Lord, then I will pray for George Lopez. And these verses reminded me of that. You know, the blind see, the hear, the ears of the deaf have been unstopped. He brings liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to those that are bound. There are many bound in prison. I was bound, what I would call in prison, to drug addiction, to my own anger, my inability to overcome any of these. I don't know what your story is, but what were you bound into? Whatever that is, Jesus came in Isaiah to set the captives free, to open the prisons to all who are bound. That's why he came. This is what he's trying to tell John. He says, you tell John that what you've heard and what you've seen, the lame walk, the deaf hear, you go tell John what you've seen. Isaiah 35 verse 4 says this, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come, Baha, with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall bring forth, and the wolf shall be brought forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Jesus is coming, he's going to bless, and he's going to provide. And he's going to open people's eyes and help them to hear. What is Jesus saying? You tell John what I've seen. Seen by the idea is you've seen the prophecy. That's what he's telling them. You've seen the prophecies that have come true about me. The one that the book tells about, the one that the scroll is full of the Messiah to come. You go tell John what you've seen. Biblically, what you have seen. And they saw these verses come to life as people's lives were changed. This was the proof that John needed. Are you the one to come, or do we wait for another? Now, indirectly, Jesus is saying, Tell John what you've heard. I like that part. It didn't expound on the heard part, but as I was reading, I was thinking, you know what? What people have seen is one thing. But what you've heard is something passed down. It made me think of Thomas. When Thomas was in the room, remember, and the Lord showed up when Thomas wasn't there, and they all saw Jesus, and then Thomas comes, and they say, oh, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord. And Thomas says, I didn't see him. Unless I see the nail prints in his hands and on his feet, I will not believe that he has come. Then sometime later, Jesus appears again. This time, Thomas says to Thomas, blessed are those who believe who have. So blessed are us. All of us who never saw the nail prints in his hand, we've seen by faith. We believe by faith. The same thing, I think, is taking place here. You don't have to look for another. The blind see, the lame walk, tongue of the dumb are open. Why? Because they told themselves, generation, even today, still healing. The gospel is still being preached, still touching people's lives. You and I can all get up and testify to what he's done for us. Every one of us could get up and share our own testimony of what he's doing. Like I said in the beginning, or do we look for another? Fortunate people are still looking. Tell them about Jesus. You share what you've heard about Jesus. You share about what's happened in your own life. And it's like they're still looking for another. They're putting their hope in man and not in Christ. In John 10, Jesus told them to believe his works. John 10, 25, Jesus answered them and says, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But do you believe? Because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Hey, I've told you. Those who are mine, they follow me. They speak. It's not an audible voice. Spiritual voice. You can only hear it when you're born again. Filled with God. You can only hear it when he's touched you and I. Until that happens, you can never hear the voice of Christ. If you don't hear it, then you're not his sheep. Plain and simple. You hear him, you are his sheep. If you are his sheep, he says, then my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. We follow Jesus, right? Now, how many of us are going in a direction expecting Jesus to follow us? Done that plenty of times. I'm going this way, Lord. Come on. Come on, Lord. We're going this way. And Jesus says, I'm going this way. Where are you going? Who's following who? See, if I'm his, I'm supposed to be following him. I followed him to Oregon. You know that? Amen? I followed him to Oregon. I wanted to go to California. Lord says, no, we're in Oregon. I'm not following you. You are following me. If you're following me and you say you hear my voice and you're my sheep, you're going to follow. I followed him, I believe, since I've been saved. I can honestly say to you, I have followed him to God. Every single I prayed about. I prayed about every move I made, why I don't move. I prayed for everything that I have and got and will receive, because I want to be. I want to follow Him wherever He wants me to be. Not where I want to be. I want to be where He wants me to be. So I am His sheep. You are His sheep. If we believe John chapter 10. And if we are His sheep, He says, my sheep hear my voice. Do we hear the voice of the Lord? Do we hear Him say, you know what? I don't want you to marry that guy. I want you to marry this guy. I want you to... Yeah, but that job don't pay as much as this one. If you're in it for the money, then you're not in it for Jesus. Jesus provides, not the job. The sooner we learn that, the better off we're going to be. He provides, not the job. If you're looking to the job for the answers for your income and your life, you're looking to the wrong place. My God shall supply all my needs. According to what? His riches and what? Glory. Not my job shall supply all my needs. My job's going to let me down. It's going to lay me off one day, or it's going to fire me. My job will never become Christ. Christ is my Christ. Jesus said, you know why you don't hear my voice? Because you're not a part of my flock. You don't believe in me. I've tried to tell you, but you let the works themselves reveal who I am. Healings, the deliverances, change, the gospel. All this are the works of Christ. They testify of Him. And that's what He's telling His disciples, to go tell John who's in prison. Tell John what you've seen. Tell John what you've heard. Many will not listen to this message. Many will not believe in who Christ is. Why? Well, maybe they just don't realize who. Maybe they're just stubborn enough that they don't want to. Maybe some distraction has come in and blinded them to the truth of who Jesus is. What they. There are many things in this world that come to distract us. We must be careful of those distractions. We must be following Jesus. Because there is no other. He is the one come. He is the one that has come. We might have not seen Him physically, but we know spiritually. We've experienced some form of touch from Him while we hear His voice. We can thank our Lord for who He is and what He has done. Because we've heard. Some of us have seen the mighty work. Those lives in. Most of us have heard something. Came to faith because of belief. Not like Thomas, well, I have to see. Jesus, you're so blessed. I think I'm in that category. I think many of you are in that category. Came to faith by because you heard something. Someone said something. Touch you. So I'm here this morning to say I want to thank the Lord for all that He's done. I want to thank Him for healing us. I want to thank Him for opening the prison doors in our own lives. I want to thank Him for the liberty we now have in Him, for opening our eyes to see, for raising us up to walk. So much more. I thank the Lord for so much. I'm probably like you. I go in waves. I kind of forget about the Lord and what He's done, and kind of begin to murmur and complain and doubt. I'm so glad when the Holy Spirit reminds me, what are you complaining about? What are your doubts all about? Are you not trusting in Him and that He's going to take care of you? No, I'm not. I need help. Help me to remember And from time to time, the Lord does. He brings things to my mind to remind me of who He is. It could be a song. It could be a conversation. It could be something I hear on the radio, you know, a movie I watch, whatever. He'll do something to click into my brain, the reminder of who He is and where I've moved. You know the old saying, God doesn't move from us. We move from Him. When I doubt or I start losing faith, it's because I've moved from Him. I'm going another direction saying, come on, Lord, follow me. Lord saying, no, I will not move. You come here and follow me. And I'll take care of you. Lastly, Jesus said, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. This is an interesting verse. I'm not quite sure I understand all of it. I read and researched, but it's very interesting because happy is he who is not offended. And the word offended is what's interesting. It means who's not tripped up or who stumbles. Who doesn't trip up or stumble because of me. The idea is he's not enticed. He's not attracted or desired to sin in some way. No, the opposite. Because of Jesus, we turn from him. Because of Jesus, we no longer take pleasure in the things of this world that are sinful. Because of Jesus, we now walk a different way. Because of Jesus, we have the help that we need. I'm going to leave you with this last scripture. Psalms 119:105. Most of you know it. If you don't know it, you ought to memorize it. It says to us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of Jesus. The word. Guiding light. Word direct. His word is what guides us and takes us down the path he wants. How many of you have a lamp? Been camping with a lamp. How far can you see with a lamp? Not too far, huh? So if you put the lamp down, you start walking this way, what does it get really quick? Dark. Can you stumble over a rock? Can you hit a little dip and lose your balance? So simple without the light. And when you have a light, you know, today we have flashlights and it's the same thing. You could only see where the light is pointing. You can't see over here. We need the light of Christ to guide us. Give us the direction. To reveal to us what His plan is. He has a different plan for all of us. Some might be similar, but He has a plan for you. He just wants us. Are you the coming one? Do I need to look for another? No, we don't need to look for another. Have what's already been given to us. He is the light of the world. Amen. Father, we do thank you for your